Good evening and welcome to an evening of chamber music sponsored by Seattle Pro Musica. We are five members of Pro Musica, which is a community chorus and chamber orchestra. We've been in existence, we're starting our 12th season in September. We have done quite a few benefit concerts. We do four concerts yearly. We've done a concert for the Community Psychiatric Clinic, one for the Fremont Daycare Center, and in a week, we'll be doing a Messiah sing-along. We figured Christmas time, people get so busy that they can't sing the Messiah, so we're gonna do it in July, and people that don't have a chance can do it then, and we'll be doing that at Trinity Lutheran in Seattle. If you happen to be around, bring your score and sing with us. I'd like to introduce who we have here tonight. My name is Lisa Mann. I'm president-elect of Seattle Pro Musica, a doctoral candidate in performance at the University of Washington, and I also will be teaching at Seattle University in the fall. Our cello player is Jermaine Morgan, who is the principal cellist in Seattle Pro Musica and plays quite a lot of chamber music in town and sells insurance to all the musicians as well. We all like Jermaine. We visit her a lot. Our other flutist tonight is Bonnie Blanchard. Bonnie teaches flute full-time, 40 hours a week, if you can believe it, in her home, and has also played quite a lot in the community and was one of the founding players of Seattle Pro Musica. On piano, and right now just sitting, is Harold Johansson. Harold is about to complete a master's in conducting at the University of Washington and also teaches at Lakeside School. And in the back, and last but not least, is Andrew Bernard, who is the conductor of Seattle Pro Musica. This is his beginning of his fourth season. Andy is about to finish a doctorate in choral conducting at the University of Washington also, and is a singer, which you will find out soon enough. We'd like to begin with a trio by Joseph Haydn. Haydn lived from 1782 to 1809 and is considered, along with Mozart, one of the representatives of what we call classical music. They were also friends, Haydn and Mozart. Haydn supposedly got better with age, and this piece is sort of in the middle of his period. His later symphonies are his most famous, and was also one of the last composers to live under the patronage system very contentedly. And after Haydn, musicians unfortunately lost the patronage of quite a lot of courts. We're hoping that'll come back one day. We'd love for someone to take care of us like that. This is a trio in C major, written for this instrumentation. There are three movements, Allegro Moderato, Andante, and, I'm in the wrong trio. Hello, G major.
Never mind.
In G major, Spirituoso, Andante, and Allegro. And these are mostly for the musician's tempo markings at this point in music, especially. Later on in music, we'll start to get words that suggest more feeling quality in the music than tempo markings. So it's three movements. We invite you to close your eyes and relax and enjoy the concert. Trio in G major by Franz Joseph Haydn. Tune up here. Thank you. Composer named Johann Quantz, who lived from 1697 to 1773, so he was more or less a contemporary of Bach, whom you'll be hearing later. Quantz was a German flutist and composer, wrote over 500 works for flute, and was in the court of Frederick the Great for quite a few years, taught him how to play flute, and also is most famous for writing a book called On Playing the Flute, which contained not only information for flute players, but information on the way to ornament or decorate music at that time. And Kwanzaa's book to this day is still used as a resource for people such as ourselves who play what we call Baroque and early classical music. This is a trio sonata. You may ask yourself why there are four people about to play a trio sonata. And this is because the cello and the piano, or as at that time would have been a harpsichord, were considered more or less one instrument. And the cello would double what was going on in the harpsichord's left hand. And the harpsichord player, who was skilled in improvisation, would sort of fill in the chords in the right hand. Very, very close to what we do in jazz today. Baroque music had quite a lot of improvisation going on in there. This piece is in four movements, affettuoso, a la breve, which is, means cut time, which is again a tempo indication, larghetto, which is largo but not too largo, and musicians like we like qualify things, and the last movement is vivace, which is quite fast. So you get slow, fast, which is also traditional form at this time. Trio sonata in C major, again, happy, another happy key, by Kwanzaa.
Thank you. Thank you.
doing some songs by Gabriel Fauré. And we're going to go up a few centuries here. Fauré was an impressionist composer, along with names like Debussy and Ravel, whom you may be more familiar with. And this goes along with impressionist art as well. And this was a time when form no longer really mattered. And if you wanted to throw a bunch of things on a canvas and call it a tree at sunset, that was okay. It was the image. It was the feeling that was more important. And this is also what was important to Debussy and Ravel. Now, Fauré, at a time when a lot of people were disregarding the rules and even scoffing at them, Fauré considered things such as form and clarity to be important as well. So you will hear the harmonies or the sounds, the colors of the Impressionistic period, but Fauré thought it was very important to remain with form and clarity in the things that people such, well, the music that you heard previous, these types of things. These are four love songs in French, which sounds romantic anyway, so you don't really need to know what it means. You hear d'amour a lot and that kind of thing. You know your love songs. The first one indeed is called Chanson d'amour, which means love song. The second one is Lydia. The third one is Clair de Lune or Moonlight. And the last one is Notre Amour or Our Love. Four songs by Gabriel Fauré.
J'aime tes yeux, j'aime ton front, oh ma rebelle, oh ma farouche. J'aime tes yeux, j'aime ta bouche, oh mes baisers se puiseront. J'aime ta voix, j'aime l'étrange grâce de tout ce que tu dis. Oh, mon cher ange, mon enfer et mon paradis. J'aime tes yeux, j'aime ton front, oh, ma rebelle, oh, ma farouche. J'aime tes yeux, j'aime ta bouche, oh, mes baisers se puiseront.
Yeah.
Very good taste. And at that time, Lipkins was born in 1756 and died in 1791. He lived only 37 years. And at that time, flutes were just not being built. Oh, this is stamped, I'm not going higher. By any one person. They were individually made, or maybe there was a man in one town that were made, and they just didn't work very well. They looked very little like what they look now. They were made out of wood. They had maybe one key here and one key here, and they sort of clacked and clattered. So he was commissioned to write two concertos, one of which he simply took the oboe concerto and put it up a step or down a step, I'm not sure, and made it into a flute concerto. These duets we're pretty sure were originally written for violins, not for flutes. Anyway. Mozart was a child prodigy on the violin and the harpsichord. He started composing when he was 6. He had written his first symphony at 17. Wrote an incredible number of works for someone who lived only 37 years and is considered one of the best famous composers ever. This is a duet in G major. We're going to do one movement, Allegro Maestoso, which is fast but majestic.
Thank you. go back into Bach, literally in time. Bach was born in 1685 and died in 1750. And when Bach died, the what we call the Baroque era in music was considered to be pretty much over. And Bach indeed was forgotten very soon after his death. His two sons lived on and were composers in what we call the Rococo period, which was a very short period in music where it was very fluffy and lots of... It's in art, the Rococos, with all the seashells and the scrolls and all of this Venus coming out of the water and this kind of thing, is the Rococo art. Bach thought of himself as a very hard worker who was trying to please the community and please the church that he worked for and to please God. And he didn't consider himself to be important at all. And if he knew where he stood now in music, he would really be quite amazed because it's, you know, ah, Bach, he's the revered composer. We're going to do a selection from a Magnificat by Bach. And a Magnificat is the setting of the Virgin Mary's hymn of praise, which is from the Gospel of St. Luke, and it's the first chapter, the 50th verse. We're doing Et Misericordia, translated is, and his mercy is upon them who fear him. The Magnificat was originally written for full orchestra and chorus, and so we sort of pared things down here as you think about a lot of violins when you hear this. The Et Misericordia from Bach's Magnificat. Thank you. was a Bohemian composer. He lived from 1841 to 1904, from Czechoslovakia. He was a nationalist composer. This was a period in music where composers were using folk songs and ethnic songs and incorporating them into classical music. So you will hear folk melodies actually in the music. Dvorak came to America, was director of the National Conservatory in New York for about 3 years. And you may be familiar with his New World Symphony, which is undoubtedly his most famous piece. We're going to play two bagatelles, which are little dances, as far as I know. They sort of sound like little bread to me, a little bagatelle. Something you can eat, you know? How about
3 and 5?
1 and 5. We're going to do two of the bagatelles. The first one is Allegretto Scherzando, again, tempo markings. And the last one is Poco Allegro. You will hear a little folk melody in the first flute, which I'm sure will sound sort of folksy to you. Two bagatelles by Antonin Dvorak.
Thank you.
one is a tune called The Carnival of Venice, which is an old Venetian tune, which has been set to what we call theme and variations in music. So you'll first hear the theme, and then you'll hear the theme, but you'll hear things around it. And then you always have to hear it in a minor key, and then you have to have a big cadenza to show off, and then you end the piece. And this is The Carnival of Venice, arranged by Frederick Wilkins for flute and piano.
Thank you.
you and have two announcements before that. The first is to tell you that if you're interested at all at Seattle Pro Music and what we do, I know some of you live in Seattle. A lot of you live in Minnesota. I used to teach at Morehead State University for 6 years. It's nice to hear about the Minnesota. I don't miss the cold weather, I have to tell you. I was born in Florida, so it was quite a shock to me. But if you are indeed interested, if you're from anywhere, even if you're from far away, we'll send you things. We do have a mailing list. We'll have some brochures that I will put here on the piano afterwards. If you're from the Seattle area and you'd like to sing with us, especially if you're a tenor, we'd love to have you also. So those will be on the piano along with some pencils and pens, and please feel free to fill one out. We'd like to thank Holden Village and all of you for the opportunity to come up here and play and share in the beauty and the fellowship. It's been very nice, and we hope to get to meet a few more of you before we go. We'll be leaving on Monday back to the big city. And it's really been very beautiful here. We'd like to close with the Lord's Prayer, which we think is very appropriate for this place. And this is the version by Malott, and we'll feature again Harold and Andy. Thank you again very much. It's been a pleasure. You've been a wonderful audience, and the Lord's Prayer.